Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On the big show today, Billy Gardell, Drew Powell, and Australia. All coming up in just a minute.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Greg Hahn is our guest.
I went out with this one girl. Can I say this?
Yeah. Sure.
Get a load of this. I'm on a date. I was out with this girl. Right? Here's what she says. It's true. She says, oh, I did something she didn't like. She goes, oh, you just lost some points. Whoa, there's points involved. That's a point system that the women have. It's a point system. Men, we don't know what's going on. All we know is it involves points, and all of a sudden, we're down. You know what I mean? I was doing my impression of her mother. She's like, oh, you just lost some points. I'm like, really? How many did I start out with? Don't ask any questions. You're just going to lose more points. Well, transfer my account to your younger sister. No way, it's your mom again. You're talking to a guy that can blow through a lot of points in a hurry. Here, right? Anyway.
Yes, sir.
I like having girls over to my place. That's how I like it. I like having. I think it's chivalric for the man to cook for the woman. Oh, let me tell you something. The chicks love oatmeal. I'll just say that. All right. That's what I'm talking about. We just got a call from Tony the yodeling Shetland pony. He can't be here tonight. He's a little hoarse. Come on, everybody.
Come on.
Just meet me halfway on some of this junk.
We're just waiting for the cast to actually show up for work. Here's more Bob and Tom Extra.
With us in the studio, comedian and actor Billy Gardell, and also with us in the studio, the man who once portrayed Hoss Cartwright.
It's not Cartwright.
Hoss what?
It's Cartwright.
Cartwright.
How dare you?
Yeah. Sorry, the benefits of a classical education. Hoss Cartwright. Thank you. He is Drew Powell. And didn't you, am I correct in saying you met your wife while playing Hoss?
That's right. Yeah, she was a makeup artist on the show. And that's a funny audition story, too, because I went in. This was a young Hoss Cartwright. He was supposed to be 17, I think. And I walk into the audition room, and it's no joke. It was like a bunch of chubby 12-year-olds and their moms in their little hats and their vests. I'm like, oh, gee. I mean, like children.
Yeah.
Like, this is not like... And I got up. This is a true story. I got up. I sat there for a minute. Like you said, like, you know what? I'm staying. I'm not staying. No, this is ridiculous. This is some Sesame Street. What is this nonsense? I put my hand on the door, and Jackie Birch, the old casting director, you remember her?
Yeah.
She's like Joey's agent on Friends. Like, hey. Stop. Yeah. I'm hand on the door. Stop. And I turn around. She's like, come here. And then they sit me down, and she and her assistant talk about me like I'm not there. It's like, well, maybe if you put Vaseline on his face. Next thing you know, I got the job, and I was on the phone with David Dortort, the original creator. He was 95 years old.
Bonanza?
Yeah. He was telling me stories about how he's like, well, I put up $1 million, and Ford put up $1 million, and we decided to do the first color show in television. I'm like, this is like real history dripping out of this dude's mouth. Total class act. And he did like High Chaparral and all these classic.
And you filmed it in Australia, right?
We shot, of course, the classic American Western. Yeah. The number of times we had to stop for like cockatoos flying through or a wallaby. The scene, my mother's dying, I'm weeping, and I cut. I'm like, what? That was great. He's like, there's a wallaby in the back of the shot. I'm like, oh.
Well, of course, we all know that the Ponderosa was very big.
Yes.
Covered most of Virginia.
Drew, we got to take that again. Paul Hogan just walked by.
We got another
dingo in the back. Yeah. Did you hear a didgeridoo in the back?
Funny story about that, though. So let's take it back to the pit. Fiona Dourif plays the doctor that has the ankle, you know.
Yeah, Molly. Oh, I love her.
She's great.
She's fought Chucky a couple times.
Yes. Well, her dad was the voice of Chucky, Brad Dourif.
Right.
And also Billy Bibbit and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Sure.
And like a legendary actor. He was on the show. And the first time I met him, we're all staying in this like townhouses and they're all in kind of a circle. And I walk up and there's this guy playing the didgeridoo on the porch. And it's Brad Dourif. He's like, hey, man.
Hey, man.
I said, you play the didgeridoo? Yeah, I learned it during my first divorce. It really helps me clear my mind.
Wow.
My first. He was the one that said, I was at Woodstock. He's like, yeah, man. They said, don't take the brown acid. I already took the brown acid.
Too late.
The didgeridoo. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He was really good at it, too. It was impressive.
Is it like a bassoon or something?
It's a big tube. Yeah. It's almost like a
made
root,
of wood,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A wood
yeah.
Root,
yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. No, it is wood, but it just looks like a.
It's incredible.
I think I have the sound. Sound of a didgeridoo.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, what a treat.
That's it right there.
There it is.
Well, that
is it.
That is beautiful.
This would be good on an alien movie.
Absolutely.
That your mind. That makes mine hurt.
I don't know. But the thing about it, it's a circular breathing, so they never stop. So they inhale, through the nose while they're breathing out. That's the tricky. So I think that's the zen of it all.
That's why parents don't ever want to get one for their kids because it never stops.
That's awful. True.
Wow.
Yeah, but that was a hell of a job. Veronica, my wife, swore she'd never date an actor.
Yeah.
And I promised my agent I wouldn't fall in love. Literally, last thing, he's like, don't fall in love when you go down there. I never.
It happens all the time.
Exactly.
How long were you in Australia?
9 months.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was one of those deals, where we were going to shoot in L.A., and then I get a call when I'm back in Indiana visiting my sister's high school graduation. They're like, so a little change. We're going to Australia. I need you to pack for 6 weeks or 6 months because we don't know what's going to happen. And I was there for 9.
Whoa.
So talk about a life changer.
What happened to the movie?
Which
was
one?
Was the Bonanza movie on regular screens?
It was a series called The Ponderosa, and it was on PAX TV, which was, we were on right after Billy Ray Cyrus. He played Doc, the country doctor in the city. So it was a network that they tried to be like this wholesome family network, and then it kind of went away. But yeah, we shot 20 episodes.
Is it still floating around out there?
I think it's like there's DVDs, but the DVD only has half the season. And maybe there's some, I think on YouTube, maybe you can see it. And it was done by the woman that did Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. You remember that?
So
she was real wholesome. It's like,
We always hear about residuals, and I don't want to make you guys give me any numbers. But
$1 million.
I've read about, there's some apparently some bar in L.A. where if you get a residual, it's less
residuals than in the valley. It's on Ventura. If you have a residual, I think it was back then, it was under $2. You got a free drink.
And then they put them up on the wall.
Put them on the wall.
Yep.
Do you still get the occasional obscure like check for 17 cents?
Oh, I just got one the other day for 1 cent. 1 cent. Like,
yeah, I've had a couple of those that you look at and you're like, it costs them more to mail this. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely crazy.
Do you cash it?
Hell yeah.
I was going to say, I earned that penny.
Right.
That's the thing about residuals, though, is that most of the time, I don't, who can figure out how it's structured? So it's just like, money that comes in the mailbox. That's why the one thing about the strike was you realize like that was all gone for a big, because you know it's leading up to, it's over. So I didn't really think much about how important that was until it was like, oh, that's gone. That hurts.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, that's what happens when you allow the nanny to go negotiate your contract. I mean, I never went to college, but I think we should have sent a lawyer. Your representation. This guy was number two on Magnum in 78. He's going to be talking for us.
Like, once a week, they'll go, yeah, talks have stalled. And they're like, yeah, they probably got tired of hearing Frank. Like, we just need a break.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Two great guests, the distinguished actor and comedian Billy Gardell, and an actor that was been a friend of the show for a while, played Haas Cartwright.
I will say real briefly, the guy that played played Adam Cartwright was a friend of mine. He lived in Hollywood over on Franklin, you know, right by Bourgeois Pig and all that. And he had at the time a chopped off convertible, like a, I don't know, 60 something Continental. And one morning he gets into this car and in the back seat is a VHS tape and he puts it in the VHS. It's called the Ponderosa.
Excellent.
Is exactly what you thought it was.
A wonderful parody.
Ponderosa.
Oh, dang it, Paul.
Now, I don't. Are there? I'm assuming. Is there a sphere of pornography that is based on sitcoms? Do they do like a?
Yes, of course. There have to be like not the Brady's or whatever.
The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Was there a Mike and Molly one?
No. I don't think anybody was putting us in a porn pair. Imagine hearing Lou in a porn pair.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Right there. That's perfect. Nice work.
Let's talk with Billy for a second. Billy Gardell, we talked a little bit about your early days.
Yes, sir.
Doing stand-up, and then did you always in the beginning think I could be an actor? Was that even on the...
It was actually, that was one of my goals. My first goal was to pay the rent with stand-up, and my second was to figure out how to get into sitcoms, because that was what I loved to do. That's what I set out to do.
Were you in the school play, that sort of thing?
I had a great drama teacher in high school. You know, I was supposed to graduate in 87, had to take another lap, and the only reason I did was because my grandmother guilted me into, I just want to see one of my grandkids walk across the stage. Thanks for dumping on them. So I stuck around and I got to be friends with the drama teacher, a guy named Kid Haskett. And in high school, this guy was, they won the state festival in Florida every year. I mean, this guy made us do real work. Like we did the Ballad of the Sad Cafe. We did the Book of Job. We weren't doing like Our Town. And this guy, even in 11th grade, he was teaching us about Meisner and Stanislavski. Wow. And like he really, I owe that guy. Because I would skip school a lot in high school, and he would say, look, if you're going to skip, just come here, and we'll talk about theater, wow, and we'll talk about acting, and you can help build sets. If you're really going to do this, just come here. So I spent like 4 hours a day with that guy, and he really changed my life.
Drew, were you a high school drama guy?
Yeah, and I was just thinking that as you said that, how many of us have that story of the one person that...
Yeah,
you know,
oh,
really,
yeah,
really
took you serious at what you wanted to be, right?
And look, I was a ham from a long time ago. Like in kindergarten, they had me around doing The Night Before Christmas because I had it memorized. And but Carol Bellis, God rest her soul, she was the music, the choir and drama teacher at Lebanon High School in Indiana, and she knew that I had the thing, and so she like our junior year we did Fiddler on the Roof, which we had no business doing that musical in Lebanon, Indiana. But
were you on the roof?
Yeah, I was Tevye.
You were Tevye? You played
Tevye? Absolutely. Yeah, it changed my life.
We have the disease. We need the cure.
Exactly, yes.
That's outstanding.
Oh, I loved it. And I got into it. I did the research. I saw the touring show came through IU. We went and saw it. I was studying what it is, a pogrom in Russia. So I really, and then the performance then was like, the best. Like when you do the homework and you're just out there, it's like every moment I was soaking it up. So, and that was the moment like, oh, I think I want to do this for the rest of my life. I had no idea how in the heck that
was. You still remember some of the lines?
Oh, yeah, all the songs. I sing them all the time.
Now you're more like Hevye. Bigger fella.
Hey, wouldn't have to work hard.
There's a good chance you saw Bob's brother Peter. He played Tevye.
Is that right?
Yeah,
he killed him. He was great.
Yeah, he was great.
Well, that's amazing.
Billy, have you ever had to sing?
I had to sing on Mike and Molly one time. We There was an open mic night, and you know, Anthony Williams was he was the host of the open mic night.
Yes.
And I did "Lean on Me" by Bill Withers. What was really cool was there was a Rolling Stone article about him about 3 weeks after we did that show. And they asked his wife, what's his favorite things to do? And he said, well, he loves to listen to music, do the crossword puzzle, and watch Mike and Molly.
Oh.
So we put that up on the bulletin board because we thought that was a gift from the heavens, which was really cool.
Are you really good at memorizing lines? Some people I know can read it once. They've got others really struggle.
I have a weird, it's musical to me. So once I hear it, it's in there. I don't know where my keys are or where my glasses are, but for some reason in that thing, it's musical to me. Like, once I hear the beat of how it sounds, it sticks.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great. And the truism is good writing is easy to memorize. Bad writing is impossible.
That is an incredibly true statement. When it's just clunky, you're just like, oh, God, because you're already in your head anyway. But when you read a sour one, you're like, this is how this could be.
You go first, Billy. Did your wife ever help you run lines?
Early on in the early days, and then
did she direct?
No, she's so sweet because she would just read the stage directions too, and I'm like, Mike crosses over. Yeah, you don't got to read that part. And we would just, but she was so patient, man. Yeah, she used to do that with
Tom. You know, Billy played a role, and Tom Hanks also played the same character, and I submit Billy's version is better.
Yeah. Let's
you know, go. That's really kind. I actually got a little bit of that online that people said
what
they
was
liked
the,
it
which
better.
One was this?
I played Colonel Tom Parker in a short-lived series called Sun Records.
It was a really cool series.
It was great. It was directed by Roland Joffe, and it was about the Million Dollar Quartet, Perkins and Cash and Elvis and Jerry Lee. And it was a great, I think it's some of the best acting I did. I think about 8 people saw it. Because it was on CMT, and then they got the price tag and said, we should probably go back to the shows where people catch fish with their arms.
Did you?
That was the end of that. But it was a joy to play that.
Billy, you were wonderful.
Thank you,
Billy,
brother.
Did you do the crazy Tom Hanks accent for the
No, I didn't play him like that at all. My dad was a huge Elvis fan, and I'm actually in the Elvis Museum now across the street, the car museum. There's a poster of me as Colonel Parker.
All right.
My
nice.
Dad... Like when I got successful, we took my wife's parents and my parents. We gave everybody their bucket list dream wish. Like, where do you want to go? Anywhere you want to go. So like her mom wanted to go to Hawaii, and my mom wanted to go to New York during the Macy's parade. And when we got to my dad, he's like, I want to go to Graceland. Nice. I'm like, Dad, I said anywhere. But my dad was the only guy. He loved Elvis so much. My dad was the only guy I ever knew that hated the Beatles. Because, and I quote, those hippies knocked Elvis off the throne. All right. So, but I got to play him. But when I talked to they gave us a lot of access. You know, like sometimes you get a role and people will go, okay, talk to this guy. He was there.
Yep.
So we got to talk to some of the Memphis Mafia, and we got to talk to the CEO of Graceland. And he said, look, when you play Colonel Parker, he goes, just remember, he did a lot of awful things, but he was so likable. It's the only way he got away with it. So if you just play him dark, nobody's going to believe he could con you. He was a con man, so you got to play him with a twinkle in your eye. So ironically, here's a Malcolm in the Middle reference. The two people that I based him on or mixed up the soup with was Foghorn Leghorn and Walter White.
Oh.
I figured if I put those two together, that's a good cocktail for this guy. And it made him likable and devious. So it was really cool.
I love that.
Fantastic. When you guys are working on a contemporary show of some sort, is there a rule about cell phones? Do they have to be offset? Or
there should be.
Well, it's funny you say that. You're absolutely. So on the pit, John Wells and Scott Gimel, like, you are not allowed a phone on a set.
Smart.
And you're not allowed sides on set.
Smart.
So consequently...
That means the script.
Yeah, Josh, sides are...
They are part of the script. So other lines, not yours.
But that's good. They're setting the tempo that you need to be ready to work.
Exactly. Yeah. And consequently, we were done by dinner all the time. There was no late nights. Sometimes they were done by lunch.
It's almost as if you guys were doing your job.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy talk. Now, did you ever blow any scenes in the pit?
In the pit, I was pretty locked in because I didn't, you know, I had my moments, you know, because that's the whole thing.
You play sort of an angry.
Yeah, I went by a guy that comes in with, you know, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Doug Driscoll. He's misunderstood.
he's like the colonel.
Yeah, exactly. He comes in with the chest pain, and he's, you know, he thinks he's going to die of a heart attack, and then he's there for, you know, 9 hours, and it's like, this is crazy. You know, what's going on? So, you know, maybe
he's got
makes
triage,
bad,
my friend.
Maybe it's some bad choices along the way.
He does make some bad
choices. Yes, he does. He makes some bad choices. But my goal, and I love, it's so fun to be here with a fellow thespian, somebody I've really admired.
Thank you very much.
It's like we're in the club.
Me too, Pat. Me too.
I didn't say lesbian. but it, because there is this like camaraderie, this club, it's insane what we do. This is a dumb thing to do. It's insane. You're silly and dumb if you want to drive across the country to LA or New York and be a professional actor. But when you're doing it, it's the greatest thing
in the
world. The process of it, which I know you really understand and appreciate, is like, you know, it's part of the fun. I'm on the season finale of Tracker. Have you ever seen that show on CBS?
No.
Big hit.
It's I think it's like number one on CBS.
You got a nice little string going.
Hey, buddy, we're on a roll.
Malcolm, knock wood, baby, knock wood.
I'll trade it all in for one Mike and Molly. You're at the top of the heat, baby.
I'm like, if they ever do a movie with me, it'll be the last sitcom star. I was the last sitcom star.
It's true. It's
last comic to get over the fence.
Here's my audition appointment from... it says 11 to 18. It's November to audition to play Douglas in Bob Hart's Abishola.
You would have been my brother.
I know.
Oh, man.
Son of a...
They missed the boat on
what
that.
What happened?
We had... who got that role? Matt Jones. Matt Jones got that for him. He was...
want him to die.
What was he? He was on Breaking Bad.
He's the guy.
Now, do you have your next
good
gig?
For him.
Great guy to work with.
Your next gig, is it lined up? If so, just a yes or no will do if you can't talk.
No. That's why I was auditioning in my parents' living room.
Clothed?
Say basement. That would have been funnier. Basement.
That's why I was in my parents' basement.
It was the TV version of Oh, Calcutta.
It is amazing, too, how quickly you go right to the back of the line.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I used to pull in the Warner Brothers and guard, and they knew me. And
Your face was on the side.
Dude, I literally had a poster on the wall, and now it's like, ID, please.
I was here for 12 years.
ID, please. Who are you here to see? Who are you here to see?
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Searching for an inside look at the people, stories, and passion that fuel the state of soccer in America?
Who's going to be the key man for the U.S. men's national team?
First and foremost, they need to win.
There's something so fun about being the underdog.
You're playing with house money almost.
But what does this success mean for the future of U.S. soccer?
Ooh, you're getting deep now.
This is where soccer will come to life.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.